What's up and welcome to Shop Sounds, a woodworking podcast about nothing. With myself, Nick Key of Key Woodworks, Jason Hibbs of Bourbon Moth, and Keith Johnson, better known as KJ Sawdust. All three of us are on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.
All right, folks, despite the fact that I scratch off the 32 on all my jeans and replace it with a 31, Jason got his wife's phone number off an AIDS Walk charity list, and Nick, unfortunately, isn't as sponge-worthy as he used to be. This podcast continues to be sponsored by our soup-loving friends over at Bits and Bits, who, by the way, were not up all night playing poker before their big charity walk event. Now, when Bits and Bits aren't trimming their sideburns or serving up soup three times a day, they are making their own bits for routers and the CNC right here in the US of A, where I actually have no idea what happened over the last 2 weeks because I've been kind of busy and I kind of like it that way. Now, Bits and Bits, after they make them bits, they grab a bucket of Astro Coating and swoosh them around like they're rinsing a hand wash only sweater in the sink. People still do that. Wild.
I do.
Wow. Just use the sensitive setting on your washing machine. That's how I wash my, forget it. And this tangy but sweet Astro Coating has proven to give these bits higher speeds and feeds rates, and extend the life of them by up to 3 times. Bits and Bits are also constantly coming out with new bits and expanding their tool selection. So go check out their new tools page on bitsbits.com and hashtag get bit, baby. And don't forget, they also take the Great American Whiteside router bits and glaze them with their Astro Coating so they can be fully optimized in your routers, CNCs, Shaper Origins, Dremels, or right angle grind. No, that's not right. Right angle grinders. Well, if you're completely psychotic, feel free to give that one a whirl. And finally, Bits and Bits is also an authorized Festool dealer. So go pick up a Festool router to house some of your new bits. And sorry, but no discount on anything but CNC or router bits. So be sure to check out all my Bits and Bits' offerings at bitsbits.com and use coupon code MORSELS15. Save 15% off your next order of router and CRC bits. CRC.
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 Because every time you use that coupon code, my morsels get one step closer to being sponge-worthy.
Oh. Woo.
I remember what that was like.
A case of sponges.
A case?
You guys, we've got a few new patrons.
I see that.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
And they are David. You can just say Dave. I like that. Atkinson. Jeremy Neufeld. And Seth Keedle. Keedle? Keagle?
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
It's Keedle.
No G.
Seth Keedle. John Soriano.
Uh-huh.
Dwayne Miller. Come on down. Sean Marks. Ooh, another two first.
Yeah. Namer.
We got Kevin Fletcher and Yoko Wood.
Wow, this is the easiest list you've ever encountered. That's not
that
fun.
Is easy. The new Skype thing is kind of throwing me off a little bit because now it's got this like noise canceling thing. So when I talk, I can't hear your guys' like background noise. It's weird.
Oh,
you don't hear us?
I can hear that.
So I keep thinking it's cutting out, but it's not. It's just, it's this weird thing. I don't know. I don't like it.
It's got to be a funky setting because mine's not doing that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not going to worry about it.
All right.
Okay.
We'll okay. Just move forward.
What's new with you guys?
Well, I got many, many questions about this gigantic built-in that KJ has been working on and or finished. Is it done or is
yes.
It?
You
is
think it not that's done? A gigantic built-in?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. That thing maybe dwarfed coming up. Right. The built-in. Before that, though, I just wanted to mention because last week, the fine folks from Teachable were here to film my upcoming Modern Wood Academy course thing. And wow, what a week. So we had the lady from Teachable, Jack Michael, who was awesome. And then the cameraman, Levi the Great from LA, who was recording everything in 4K. And
yeah.
So I kind of knew up front that this was going to be longer than the timeline that they had slated. And I ended up getting an extra day out of them. But even then, I was like, I don't know how we're going to do this in 5 days. Never mind. Build it, film everything, all these talking heads, and everything else that needed to go along with it. So, yeah, basically on Sunday, we realized we're in trouble here. So it was 5 days later and 90 hours in the shop.
Oh, my gosh.
90 hours and 5 days, which, you know, I'm sure there are people out there like, dude, I do that every week. Well, I don't. And standing in my shop for 90 hours, building and having a camera in your face and having to talk and be bubbly the whole time. Like, it was pretty intense. No sleep. But... And like it started out like because I had to do all these. She's like, all right, here's what you need to say in front of the camera. And she like rattles off five lines. And I am horrible at memorizing stuff like that. So I'll get through like the first sentence and be like, what was the next one? You know, line. Yeah. So line. I'm like, how are we going to do this? Because there's just no way. So I'm like, I ordered a teleprompter. And yeah. Like John from Lincoln Street Woodworks like uses one for all his YouTube videos. So I ordered one from his link. And then she's like, oh, I think I have a teleprompter app on my iPad or laptop. So we started using that. And what a lifesaver. I'm sure my eyes are not looking at the camera or anything, but there was no way I was going to get through all this script without it. But yeah, every day was just like there was 12 at night, 1:30, 3:30 in the morning, 3:30. Yeah, I was putting Rubio on the last day at 2:00 in the morning and wow. Then reassembling so that we could do the final like outro of the whole course. But, you know, of course we had some of the normal problems along the way, some F-ups that I made.
Well, that's always fun though.
Yeah, especially on camera when you're used to just getting mad because you can and throwing crap when no one's there, but when people are right there and you got to contain yourself. And so the biggest one was I was cutting all the miters on the mitered case for the top of this console table, and I was using the L fence on the table saw, which I've done a ton of times. So my first cut, I started pushing it through, and there was a little resistance. I was like, all right, that's a little weird, and I was getting some burning. It's like, all right, why is that happening? And I was like, you know what? It's possibly the riving knife because I had switched blades, so maybe the riving knife wasn't lined up perfect. So I took that off, made the next cut, same thing. It's like, all right, well, maybe I just need to wax the table saw here. Maybe it's a little built up resistance. Waxed everything, did another cut, same thing. So I made it through all of them except for one. And the wood I had chosen for this was just, it was perfect. And I had a perfectly flat panel. It was just going to be lovely. So I'm halfway through the last cut, and I don't know what happened. I must have like turned it just a hair instead of keeping it flush against the fence, and the blade caught it and spun it and cut and ripped half the thing off, and this huge like curved saw blade mark on the underside. I turned the saw off and I said, I need a minute. And I walked out.
What a diva.
What a walnut diva.
I just can't do this now. Sorry.
Everybody take five.
Oh, man. And so I was in the kitchen, just like my hands over the sink, just like what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Because now, bear in mind, I had... in advance glued up a whole nother set of panels. So if I needed to make another case, I could. So luckily I had those, but I'm like, how am I going to cut these? The L fence not working. So I knew after all that my table saw fence must not be in perfect alignment with my table saw blade. The only way that could have happened, they weren't parallel. So I'm like, all right, I can use the track saw. Now the track saw, that's the new one from Festival, and I hadn't checked it if it was 45. You'd love to think out of the box the 45 is exactly 45. So I'm like, all right, can you guys just leave the shop for like a half an hour? And I need to test this. I just need to be alone while I do this and not have people there. So I ran a test cut with the Vestal so Track Saw. Yeah.
But you asked them to leave, so what did they do? Just go stand in your dining room?
Yeah, they sat down, grabbed a coffee and a snack or whatever. Yeah. Dude, we were in and out. It was a whole, you know, just like when you were there. It's come in and go as you please. House is open.
All right.
And so I made a test cut, and the thing was like not even close to 45. It was like 44 or something. So I had to like tweak it past 45 to get it to work. And then I made all the miter cuts in like 10 minutes, and it fit together perfectly. So that was like crisis number one averted. Then I, you know, a couple other things. I was setting the depth on a stretcher for cutting mortises, and I thought I screwed off the depth setting, and I didn't. I plowed right through the stretcher.
Oh. Isn't it funny how you can prep? Like, this is probably the most prep you've done on a project ever.
Yeah, yeah.
And you still have issues.
You still
That's
make mistakes. You make mistakes.
That's life, yeah.
And the drawer front, that was where, perfectly grain matched drawer fronts from one to the next. And I'm cutting the groove in the front for the copper pole. And I was plunging at the beginning of the cut and the end of the cut. That way the router wouldn't like burn there. And when I made those two initial depth cuts, it went right through. I had the wrong turret on my router, my plunge router. And I plunged right through the drawer front on both of those.
Oh, no.
And then when I was drilling the recessed hole, which is like 1 3/4 inches, so you can kind of get your finger in there to grab the pole, I put the template, the plastic template or acrylic template down, and I was using a really shallow template bit. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do this in one pass. No big deal. So I started going, and I'm smelling plastic or acrylic burning, and I'm looking, and I can see the template getting eaten away as I'm going. I'm like, what is going on? And it's because, you know, that template bit is so short. If you don't make shallow passes, because ultimately your bearing is going to ride on your circle that you're cutting in your wood, not just the template. Like the template at first, and then as you make your way down into the hole, then your bearing is riding on the hole itself, no longer on the template, because the bit is so, it's like a 1/4 inch or 1/8 inch deep, that blade. So I trashed my acrylic template. So I'm like, what do I do now? Like, I got nothing that's 1 3/4 inches. I need to make it bigger. And then I was like, all right, I'll just use the 2-inch template that is on the same template. And that worked out fine. It actually looked better as 2 inches, but that was another nightmare. Sweating, pit sweat.
Oh, man. And it just is compounded by having people standing there watching. That's the worst.
And no,
I mean, the worst
sleep
installs are where the client's like sitting there watching you the entire time.
The pressure is on big time.
Yeah. But do you think it all came together in the end? Do you think you got it?
I think, I mean, the footage I was telling, I mean, the footage is going to look insane being in 4K with like that depth of field. The guy was awesome videoing everything. We got so many good, I think we probably went, like, for me, I don't know until the whole thing's put together, but, you know, the lady was saying that this is the most in-depth video on Teachable. We've never done anything this in-depth. And to me, I'm like,
wow,
we didn't go granular enough. Like, I really wanted to dig deeper a little bit into some of these things so to explain things better to people. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see how it comes. I know the production level is going to be great. I just hope it's in-depth enough for people. I think it will be, but I want it to go further. And so, like, the flow has started. Like, my story's tomorrow about, because it's like a steady release of, like, my free video series. I did 3 things for people to kind of get warmed up and get on our mailing list for when it's released. Yeah, it's cooking. It's in. And then I still had, when all that was done, exhausted, I had 40 pages of voiceover to do.
For them?
Yeah, for that. Like, every time we did a shot, she documented it and wrote and typed out what I was actually doing so I could go back and voice over it for the video.
Oh, wow.
So it took me 11 hours to voice over everything.
Wow.
Which is, you know, typical for me, but.
So
Jason would have been done in like 30
minutes. I know.
But it took you that long, even though you have like a script that you're
even
reading?
Though I was reading it. I just kept going. It was like page after page after. I mean, I had to go back and re-record because, you know, I screwed up a word and like, you know, I fumble over my words a lot. It's just how it, and you know, there's all these long run-on sentences. So you're reading, and then it's like there should have been a comma there and a break, and I just kept going. So, you know, your inflection needs to change. So I, you know, I had to do a lot of it over, but I wanted to make sure it was good. And I wanted to do the whole thing in one sitting so my voice didn't change.
Oh, yeah. So but you sat there for 11 hours?
No. Well, the first day I did just 2 hours, and the next day I did 9. But the problem is, as the day went on, I could tell my voice was getting raspier, and it was starting to go. So people will probably notice that through, unless they put some kind of voice filter on it. I don't know.
They're probably not going to notice.
Yeah.
They won't notice.
No, it'll be fine.
But the only other thing, and remember we've talked about this in the past with, you know, Rubio rags. You can't crumple them up and throw them in the corner because the linseed oil, they could combust.
Yeah. You started a fire on camera?
Well, I've never even come close to encountering anything like that. Now, there was a ton of rags because I'm putting Rubio on. They're wiping off the excess to get this done. So they're kind of rags everywhere, but they weren't bunched up in a pile. And at the end, when we were all done, I was just flat. I was taking them and laying them all out flat. And I grabbed one. I was like, that's warm. And I grabbed another one. I'm like, that is hot. It was hot. Not warm, but hot to the touch. And it scared the hell out of me. So now, like,
that's people, ironic, isn't it? That fire would scare the hell out of you.
Oh.
Easy, Alanis.
So, PSA, people, your Rubio rags,
I'll send you a link to my fire.
To your can?
My fire can.
I ain't got no room for that.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, but can you still, you still can't bunch them up in there. Just because it catches fire in the can doesn't mean, I don't want a contained fire in my shop either.
Well, I don't think it can catch fire in the can. Yeah, there's no oxygen in there.
Yeah, there's no oxygen in the can.
Oh, come on. Believe me, I worked in a manufacturing plant with those things everywhere. There's plenty of air getting in there.
Nah.
No, it's like outer space. You can't start a fire in
outer
space.
You mean it's vacuum locked? It's like
It's Elon Musk vacuum.
So yeah, that was my week. It was pretty intense. But it was it had no, you know, at the end of the day your phone's normally at like 30% or something, you charge it. Every day my phone was at like 95% because I wasn't on it. I wasn't on it at all.
No time to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that must be nice.
It was nice.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's only half of what you did, right?
That's only half.
Because then after all that stress and all that time, you got to relax with a nice little install.
Yep. So we started, the built-in down in Philly with my buddy Kevin from Fine Point. We were supposed to, because the uppers needed to be assembled after they came back from the finisher. We were going to do that Monday and then install Tuesday, Wednesday, but he was around somebody with COVID all day on Sunday, so we had to wait for his for a negative test on Monday and negative test Tuesday morning before we started. So that came back clear. So we assembled everything, loaded. We had to rent a Penske truck. We were Penske material on this one. And yeah, nice 3-hour drive down to Philly. We left at 6 a.m. on Wednesday morning. It's like 3 hours because of traffic. And then first day of install went pretty good. And then yesterday was just, you know, it was all the detailed stuff as far as scribing all our outer styles and upper styles and the crown molding and the base and all that and putting in the doors and hanging and hardware. And so it was just, you know, again, it was 2 18-hour days. Left my house at 5:30 a.m. Got home at 9 p.m. But they're in. They look awesome. The customer's happy. We're happy with how they came out. So, onward. You got questions though, Nick? I mean, they're just boxes.
Now it's time for questions.
Yeah. Now Q&A.
I've been talking long enough.
The so you brought all of those boxes separate and then put them all in. Did you do the lamello thing where they were all faced, all the face frame was one piece?
No, not one piece.
Oh.
No.
Not one piece, but close.
I mean, they were all pre-finished pieces, so all the rails and styles were separate, and then it's like a field joint where they just kind of butt up to each other, and it's just how it is. Like a kitchen cabinet, you know, when you put a filler strip in, they just butt. So We could have, but it would have been, you know, a pain. Like, I've lived that pain, and it's just not, it's not necessary. And really, the only kind of joints that you see, like, rail and stile is the upper rail and the outside stiles. You know, everything else just looks kind of natural.
Right.
So, yeah, I really like the two-tone with the paint and the wood.
It's funny because I was sitting there thinking on Tuesday, I'm like, wait a second, how are we going to tie in, like, why is, or how are we going to tie in oak crown above with, like, painted crown in the rest of the room? I totally forgot that all the face frame and the crown were actually painted because I hadn't seen the rendering in so long. But then when we got a look at it, you're right, man. I just love that look of the white oak and that Kendall charcoal, and with the face frame as a color and the white oak, it looked awesome.
What paint did you end up going with that? Was that the Sherwin Williams
Emerald
Urethane?
It was not. So we didn't paint it. It was painted by a finisher who uses like Ilia Italian paint. They can match any Benjamin Moore color. So it was Benjamin Moore HC166 Kendall charcoal.
Oh, is it a oil base or?
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, it's like lacquer.
Oh yeah, like a conversion varnish or something.
Something. Yeah, it's like cabinet grade.
I love lacquer. That's
what they do their kitchens with.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's but we had to touch up a few spots because, you know, unfortunately you're as careful as you can be, but you ding things, you drop things, and
how do you touch up stuff on site?
Well, we had bought a can of Benjamin Moore with that color because we had to spray like the toe kick and the actual veneered edging of the plywood boxes down below. Uh-huh. Because you see a little bit of it when you open the door. So we had to spray it with that. So we just use that for touch-up with a little detail brush. You know, it's that dark color. You really don't see it. It's so small, the little blivets.
Oh, yeah.
No, like large.
I always thought it would be smart if you could buy, maybe this is a thing and I just don't know about it, but if you could, like, at the paint store, you know those paint pens?
Yeah.
If you could buy those in like whatever color you wanted and they could mix them for you and you could have a little paint pen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that'd be super.
Especially to leave with the customer, right?
Yeah, exactly. That'd be super handy to do touch-ups here and there with like the exact color match. That'd be so nice because they don't dry out and everything.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you can do it with a rattle can, but yeah, I've never heard of a paint pen.
Yeah, that'd be.
I have one of those in the nitrocellulose that I'm using on the guitar. A little black gloss.
I was going to say they have black white, gloss, and gray.
And like it's literally a touch-up pen.
Yeah. It's one of those. They make like touch-up pens for furniture and stuff, but they're always just like black or generic brown stain or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I messed up this week. You want to hear about it?
Oh.
Yeah. What did you f*** up?
Write that one down.
All right. Here we go.
Well,
that's the segment. We got to say it.
Well, I was building this little mid-century table. So I built this mid-century style table for the TV show, and I thought it was cool, but I couldn't do it for a YouTube video because it was for the TV show. But then I needed a video this week, and I'm like, I'm just going to build another one and do it for YouTube.
Oh, God.
Probably should. I don't know. That probably wasn't allowed, but I just did it. Anyways, I built it smaller. It's a little round one. And I didn't have any specific measurements in mind because I wasn't building this for anybody. So I was just kind of making it up. I was going to make a nice little table. So I built the base and then I went to do my top. And I don't know why in my head I was like, a 2-inch overhang for this circular top is probably plenty around the entire thing. So I cut out this circle and I stuck it on the base and it looked so dumb.
It like just the top wasn't large enough?
It just looked dinky,
yeah.
Like just very unproportioned to the base. It looked completely off. And it was late on, let's see, late on Wednesday. And I wanted to be able to edit all day yesterday. So Wednesday at like 5 o'clock, in 35 minutes, I milled up some more oak and glued up another top in 35 minutes.
It was
like a new record. And then I went out
late. Cut a circle?
No, I went out later that night and cut the circle out and plopped it on there. I made it 6 inches bigger.
Well, surely it's thanks to Keith waxing your planer table.
Yeah. Surely.
Yeah. And Craig putting new cutters on your helical head.
Yeah. Everyone's watching out for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that first top looked so bad. But now I got a 30-inch top.
What'd you do with the first one?
So you can do a little side table.
Yeah, just set it on the burn pile, but I'll probably...
Oh, God.
I'll probably pull it back off.
You should have put it underneath, like make it the base. Put the feet on it.
Oh, like a little shelf.
Like a shelf underneath?
A small shelf.
That would have been weird on a dining style table. Yeah. I mean, maybe like on a side table, but this is more like a little bistro table.
Yeah.
Mm.
So that was not too fun, but got it done.
Well, it could have been worse. You could have made the table base 32 inches high.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Some people.
For giants. True.
But when you cut something too small, there's no way to, I mean, there's no way to fix it. You got to redo it. I mean, there's nothing you can do.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nope. Nope. Not at all.
What were you going to say, Keith?
What? So your thumbnail there says 2-day build.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really a 2-day build?
Yeah. Built in 2 days. Well, it was like a day and a half.
And then finish.
No, it's including finish.
Wow.
Well, because I only put one coat of Rubio on there. Let's be honest. I'll put another one on eventually. But
yeah.
Yeah, because the first day I milled up all the stuff and I glued up all my blanks. And the second day I cut out my template and templated out all my legs. Dominoed it all together. Okay. Half lapped everything together. Cut out two circular tops. And put finish on it. So...
You know what you can use that other circle for? You can make another big Bourbon Moth logo sign.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea. I could make one for indoors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
White oak would look nice.
Is the one that you made, is that one outside yet?
No, it's in my shop right now. It's going to go in the front of the little office building that we're building, but it's not done yet or sided or painted, right. So I'll move it out there eventually.
Did you cut out those templates on the shaper?
I did. And that was nice because I had already designed the template for the original table, and I used the exact same leg style, even though it's a bigger table.
Nice. Scaled it. Perfect.
Scaled it.
I was wishing I had a shaper today because I was using my CNC, and I was just going to make this really quick little sign for a friend of mine. And I had an 1/8-inch bit in the router, and I have a 1/4-inch collet because it's just a DeWalt trim router in my CNC.
Mm-hmm,
and I was trying to get that bit out, and it was like stuck. So I grabbed like a pair of channel locks to grab the bit, and then I had a hammer, and I was like trying to hammer it to try and knock it loose, like,
and
something
broke the bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Snapped it.
The bit snapped right off up in the collet. So the reducer is in the collet with half of the bit. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I spent like 45 minutes trying to get that collet out and that the broken bit with the reducer out, all just to cut out, you know, this sign that took like 10 minutes. And I was like,
that's the stuff that slows you down. Yeah, all those little mistakes that happen. I blew a blade on my wonderful bandsaw when I was cutting out the legs after I traced out the template on them. I was kind of refining the cut a little bit, and this blade, it was a Harbor Freight blade. So I'll preface it with that.
High
but
quality.
The blade snapped. Yeah, the blade snapped. That's always fun when that happens. But not only did it snap, it then got like lodged in between two bearings. And so I had to weave it out of there, and it was like pinched in, and it took forever. That was a pain.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, and I also had kind of a scare. It wasn't that scary. It just, you know, makes your heart beat a little fast with the router when I was cutting out my circle for the top of that table. Because normally what I do is I use the circle jig and I'll do like a quarter inch pass, and then I'll rough cut it with a jigsaw and then flush it up with a flush cut bit. And so I did my first pass, and then I was like, you know, if I just extend the circle jig out a little bit and make that groove a little wider, I bet I can forego the jigsaw altogether and then just use the flush cut bit, because it'll have enough room in that groove to just, you know, that's what'll cut out the circle.
Oh.
So I extended my router jig out and I went to cut, forgetting that now that I'm cutting on the outside and not the inside.
Oh, it's a climb cut.
So I started to go in the same direction. And since I was only cutting a little bit off, it just like took off out of my hand and started zipping around in a circle all by itself.
It'll go by itself. You just hold on to the template.
Literally, it just went all the way around and I caught it on the other side.
Oh my gosh.
Was that on camera?
Yeah, because I was
Please
I was
tell
just,
me that was on camera.
I was just taking a hair of it off. No, I didn't put that on camera. My camera's off because I wasn't even going to show that part.
Oh, man.
But it just was like, zoop. It did not make a clean cut.
Zip, zap, zooey.
Mind you. But that scared me for a second.
Oh.
Yeah, I just completely did. I just didn't even cross my mind to think like, oh, I have to go in the opposite direction now.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but then it did work to forego the jigsaw, and I just used the flush cut bit and worked great. I'm going to do it that way from now on.
Hands
minus
free.
Minus the climb cut part.
Right.
Right.
Hands free. So I actually bought that, the Festool jigsaw. I forget. It's the barrel grip, the battery, because the new drill I got has the battery. So I'm like, oh, I'll get the battery operated.
Is it the Carvex?
I need a new jigsaw. It's the Carvex, but it's like the ESP.
Yeah, I have that one, but I have the corded one.
So I'm like, I've wanted it for years, but I'm like, I don't really use a jigsaw too much. And how great could it possibly be? Holy crap, that thing is freaking amazing. Like when you put that zero clearance insert in the bottom, no tear out.
Wow.
And like there's a plastic guard that slides over the whole face
of
it.
But it does.
And since it has LED, you can see, and the dust collection is ridiculous.
I'll see. I think that guard makes it hard to see the blade.
Well, I think as it gets older and it gets beat up in there and chipped and foggy, it probably will be. Yeah. But right now when it's clean,
brand new.
You can see it.
Yeah, I took mine off because I guess I had it on for a while. So yeah, maybe it got fogged up, but it was started getting hard to see the blade.
Yeah.
But
I could see that.
I mean, I don't use it that often either. So
it's like,
but
old,
I have
old
that
days.
One. And then I do have the big Carvex, the one with the flashing LED. So it makes the blade look like it's standing
yeah,
still.
Yeah, that's what this
oh,
has.
That's that one.
I think it has that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's an LED. I thought it was flashing, but I might be wrong. Could have just been blinking my eyes really fast.
Yeah.
Anything's possible. Yeah. But I did use it to, because, you know, to rough cut some 8/4 walnut rather than throwing it up on the miter saw. I used it to rough cut that. It was amazing. It was a delight.
Zip, zap, zoop.
I love to use a jigsaw to rough cut.
Yeah, it makes so much more sense.
It's safer.
I dig. Safer. Mm. Well, kind of, but you still have to, like, if you're cutting a board in half, like that off cut's got to drop somewhere. So it's like, I'm holding the jigsaw with my right hand, but I'm under with my left hand going the other way. And so it's a little difficult with the off cut. It's not just
what
falling.
I always do. I
could cut with my
left
hand.
That's what I do. I cut with my left hand and hold the off cut with my right.
Yeah.
Just set it on a
that
piece of that rigid foam.
And through
just
the jigsaw?
Cut right through that foam?
Why not?
Yeah, I don't have room for that foam. Man.
Yeah, me neither. These guys who have these full sheets of foam, like 4x8 sheets of foam in their shop. I'm like, where do you put that?
Well, look, you're talking about, you got a 3,000 square foot shop.
You have a boat hanging from your ceiling.
Well, I know, but it'd have to be like leaned up against a wall or something.
Yeah, yeah. It takes up a big foot.
And it's just this like pink thing in the background all the time, or blue, or...
Well, they... No, you make buy the ones, yeah, blue, or the ones with the silver face.
I've got a, gosh, I don't think it's not a full sheet, but it's like a half sheet that I keep over on the other side of the garage.
Mm.
And I'll just bring it over.
Definitely, it's great.
I'll bring it over whenever I need it, but I only use it when I'm using the track saw.
Yeah, yeah. I should just buy one and cut them in like a couple strips, so I can just. like little 2x4 strips or something. That way you can throw it one under the cut and then one at the other end, so it's not.
Yeah, that's all you really
like
need.
A seesaw. Yeah, you don't need a sheet.
No.
And you could reuse that forever.
What I did, because I got those dog holes in the top of my workbenches, and so I just made a bunch of 2x4 blocks with a 3/4 inch peg on the bottom. So whenever I have to cut sheets, I just plop those on the top of my bench, and then if I cut into those, who cares?
Right.
No, that's perfect. Because what I did was I cut some 3-inch by 8-foot strips of plywood, and I lay those perpendicular to my sheet. But the problem is sometimes, like when you're cutting through and the blade hits that strip, like the strip kind of moves or whatever. But doing that's a perfect idea. If I put just a couple little 3/4 inch pegs on the bottom of those strips and drop them into my dog holes, and then they won't move.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because what I did was I got these like dog hole, they're like the auto adjust clamps. They really suck. They go in the dog holes and they're supposed to auto adjust and hold stuff down. But under my dog holes, there's a 1/4 inch sheet of plywood because I got drawers on the bottom of my workbenches. And so I didn't want all the dust to go through the dog holes and, you know, go into the drawers. Yeah. So I put a piece of 1/4 inch plywood, and it's probably, I don't know, 4 inches underneath those dog holes. But these auto adjust clamps, the dog peg was like 6 or 8 inches.
6 inches.
Yeah, it was ridiculously long. So I cut them down because they're just aluminum, and then I just used all those little offcuts and sunk those in the bottom of a bunch of 2x4s.
Oh.
See? Reuse, recycle.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Reduce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot the reduce part.
Yeah.
Darn it.
So, Nick, the guitar is complete. I mean, I saw this video. You had the black lacquer's back on.
That's right.
Looking fresh.
Yeah. She is back together as of right now, 100% whole again. So
resting in
its coffin.
So
does that mean she's done, or?
Technically, yes, she's done, completely done. But tomorrow I'm going to give her a full setup and, you know, get the strings.
Put another scuff in the back of it.
Yeah, probably scratch the back again. And no, I'm going to go out there naked tomorrow. I'm not going to wear any clothes. I'm going to remove everything from the bench, and I will touch this thing with my bare hands.
Like a giant Easter bunny suit, so it's just fluffy.
Yeah.
Soft.
I'm
going
to wear a robe. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
nice.
Tomorrow I plan on just setting it up, which basically just setting the string action, getting the radius of the strings, doing the intonation, and making sure it feels
the
good.
What?
Intonation.
So
for those who don't know.
Yeah, for those who don't know, intonation is
I mean, I know.
When you tune a string, let's say the low E, for example, you tune it to an E.
The low E.
But when you hit it open, you tune it to the E. But when you hit it at the 12th fret, which is the octave up, you want it to be also an E. But if it's sharp or flat, you need to adjust where the saddle is on the bridge to make it either sharper or flatter so that it is both an E open and an E high.
Who
on the
neck.
Who
came up with these guitar terms? That's what I want to know.
Geniuses. I will say
saddle.
Freaking geniuses.
Bridge.
Yeah. But I'll do all of that tomorrow. Get it nice and playing well. It already plays really great. So when I cracked the nut the first time, I got replaced with nuts. you notice I didn't say bust.
Yeah.
So I replaced the nut and it...
Like Lance Armstrong.
That's right.
Yeah, like I was gonna say, didn't your wife do that after your third kid?
Yeah, I had Lance order me another nut. And got it in, and the action is actually lower. It feels great. Like, I played it this afternoon, and it does feel really good. I've got a little bit of a string buzz
hit a string buzz.
I know, up on the 17th fret, so I'm going to have to address that tomorrow. I might have to file down one of my frets. Like, the 18th fret might be a little bit high. Not a big deal, but I'll address that tomorrow. But as of today, it is like 99.9% done. And and it's in the case, and I'm like keeping it safe. But
nice.
Yeah,
I'm loving it.
That's exciting.
I kind of think that scratch was kind of like a blessing in disguise, because like the finish this time around
is better.
Is so much better.
Yeah, you can tell just in your stories it looks better.
It does look so much better.
I mean, before I was saying it looked good just to be like a nice encouraging friend. But now I genuinely it looks really nice.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. I'll be the first to say it. Like the first time around, I was like, this looks awesome. But now I'm like, this looks really good. Like everything is level. It has like a true mirror black back. And on the front too, yeah. Like you can see yourself in the reflection on it. It's crazy how flat and glossy everything is. It's nice. I really.
And the second that guy gets it on stage, it's going to be scratched to hell.
Yeah, I mean,
what if he pulls like a Kurt Cobain and smashes like it on
the first time he plays, just smash it on the stage. I mean,
yeah, this piece of garbage. Says, who made this? Fisher Price.
Pull a Pete Townsend right the on 19th stage.
Fret. Listen to the buzz on this 19th fret. This is junk.
Made the 17th. It was the 17th.
It was the 17th.
It's got no sustain.
No.
Nice. I'm surprised you know that term.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's from Spinal Tap.
Oh, right.
You listen to the sustain on this. You go out, you have a ball, you come back, it's still going.
Still going. This one goes to 11.
Well, good luck intubating that thing tomorrow.
You're right.
Hopefully it will sit still.
What was the actual term? It wasn't intubating.
It was intubation.
Intonation.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I was
pretty close. Yeah. Close.
That's when you're really big geography fan. You're intonations. Lots of them.
That was a good one.
I'm intonations.
It was a reach.
Oh. Yeah.
Touche.
You reached out.
I know it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
My hand smacked.
Oh, but you know, this week do you guys remember when I did that bass for my boss's boss? It's been a couple years ago. Boss. Yeah, my boss's boss.
Jesus? Isn't your boss's boss Jesus?
No, that's my boss's boss's boss.
Oh, okay. That's the next level up of management. I gotta get my my management tree was a little off there.
Yeah,
forgot the dotted line or the solid line.
I'll email you our organizational chart.
That's what I meant. The organizational chart. Damn it.
The workflow.
So I did his bass a couple years ago, and I dyed it. It had a flame maple top, and I did it like a translucent black.
And that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, it's so wild how long it that's been ago. But so he was doing some work on it, or had somebody else doing some work on it, and the guy put some painter's mask on the back of it to protect.
Going.
He wanted to protect the finish, but when he pulled the painter's mask off, it lifted the finish with it. So he brought it to me and he's like, hey, can you fix it? And I was like, sure. Yeah, I think I can fix it. And I ended up sanding down the back and got it nice and flush again, nice and level. And I put a coat of water-based wipe-on poly on the back, because I used water-based poly the first time when I shot it. And I figured,
what happened?
Something must have been bad with my poly, because I put a coat on, went to bed, woke up the next morning, walked out, and
why did you wear a coat to bed?
It was cold. Yeah, I mean, we had a cold snap.
Winter.
Yeah,
it's winter in Kentucky.
Every now and then it drops to like 30. It's chilly.
Okay.
And I walk out to my shop the next morning, and there were bubbles all over the back of that base. So where the poly had like
dried in there?
Yeah, the poly had dried, but there were bubbles that had popped. Like you could see like, you know, like fisheye, you know, when you get that? It looked like there was fisheye all over the back, but it looked like something had gotten underneath the poly and come up and blown up a bubble all over the back. So there was like just hundreds of bubbles all over the back of this guitar. And I was like, what happened? I've never seen this before, ever. I've never seen any finish have that many bubbles after the fact. Like, I've seen, like, air bubbles come up, you know, like with epoxy, you know, you see bubbles come up.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just pop them with the heat. But I've never seen it with poly, especially water-based poly. So I immediately threw that, you know, bottle of water-based poly right in the trash. And then I ended up having to sand back the whole back.
Why, out of curiosity, are you using water-based?
Well, because I initially used water-based poly to start because we wanted to do a satin finish and I couldn't find any oil-based polyurethane that had a satin that I could spray to start when I did that base initially. So I thought I didn't want to mix oil on top of water base and I whatever, but turns out it didn't matter because it turned out garbage.
So you got a new poly and then did that solve the problem?
Well, I'm still working on it now because I ended up...
But now you're afraid. You're terrified it's going to happen again.
Yeah, I am, but I
can see the fear in your eyes right now.
What I ended up doing was sanding it down almost to bare wood again on the back.
Almost to bare wood?
Almost, like, yeah. Like I hit. So I took it down pretty far, and then the edges, I hit bare wood because the edges carry the least amount of color initially because I mean it's just edges, you know, you can sand through an edge real fast versus a flat. So I sanded it back and then I've been shooting with lacquer. So I've been putting it on gloss black lacquer to build it back up, and then I'm gonna once the gloss is completely cured out, then I'll hit it with some satin lacquer to make it match the top, which is a satin. So I'm pretty much just
interesting.
It's a you know it's a
I had an
game.
Issue with bubbles last week.
Oh really?
That stripper from Seattle?
Is that what her name was?
So she gives me a call, and she says she's in town. And no, I'm not even going to wander down there.
I was wondering how long this was going to go.
No, it wasn't. So I was working on that dishwasher panel, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Keith, you were saying you had issues with your Fuji. You got the Q5, right?
For now.
Uh-oh.
And you said you were having issues spraying latex and all that. And I said I've never had issues with mine. Been no problem. But I also haven't used it in a really long time. And so I pulled it out to spray that one cabinet panel. And I went to spray. And I was just spraying primer. And it came out and it looked like shit. I mean.
I know that look. I know that look.
It looked like the worst orange peel that you have ever seen is what it looked like. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And I looked closer. And it was all bubbles.
Oh, so it was had it like anodized before it hit the surface.
I don't know. I've never had that happen before. The good news was that after, I don't know, 5 minutes, they all went away and it looked perfect. Looked totally fine.
Interesting.
But the initial spray, it looked horrible. And so I kind of played with the settings again and I sprayed on a piece of scrap wood. Now, the scrap wood was vertical, and the panels I was spraying, they were laying horizontal.
Right.
And on the scrap piece, it looked fine, and so then I went to spray another coat. Same thing. Bubbles everywhere. And I didn't worry too much, because the other ones went away, and sure enough, after a few minutes, they all settled out, and it looked fine. And then I did the color. Same thing. Bubbles everywhere. It all settled out. Looked fine. I don't know. And so I said in the video, I said, this is happening. If anyone knows why this is happening, let me know. And one person commented, which is rare. Normally when I toss up a question like that, I get bombarded with a million people with inputs. Only one guy said anything about it. And he said, you need to change your air filter.
Oh.
And it had been sitting out in my little side shed for probably a year since the last time I used it. And I looked at the filter and sure enough, there's like 10 spiders living in there. Like spider webs and leaves and all this gunk like caked in that air filter. So I guess that's what it was. It just wasn't getting enough air somehow. Airflow? I don't know.
That's weird. Because shooting this guitar, when I use the aerosol cans, it looks like that. It's Orange Peel City to start. I'll do like three light passes. And when I'm done, it looks like Orange Peel. But in 10 minutes, it's laid out. Yeah, it levels out. Yeah. It looks great.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what happened with this, is the bubbles popped, you know, as they warmed up probably. And then it all leveled out nice, because I add quite a bit of water to that when I spray it to thin it down. And so the reason I like doing it horizontal is because, yeah, it levels a lot better than if it's vertical.
Yeah.
Less likely to get drips.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, the finish looked fine. It was totally acceptable by my standards, which are pretty low, but yeah, it was just weird. At first glance, I did not know what was going on. So I'm curious to see if changing that filter actually solved the problem, or if it's something completely different, because I'd never had that issue before with that.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that.
Spraying emerald urethane too, which is like the best paint you can get, so... I don't know.
You know, I just realized when you started this HVLP talk, is when I was working at my sister's there, I sprayed, I had paint in there for the drawer fronts, and I had clear, and I paint in my Erlex, and I had clear in my Fuji gun. I never cleaned those out.
It's just still sitting in there?
Yes.
But I think you at that point had decided you're never using that Fuji again, right?
Well, that's true, but I still have to clean it out to get rid of it. But, you know,
it's not that hard to clean it out.
It's not.
I've left finish in there because it's no air getting. I've left stuff in there for weeks before and it's fine. It's just,
yeah.
Sometimes
I never clean my guns out at all. No? I mean, well, not like, I never take them apart and clean them. Some guys, like, they're like, every time you use it, you got to take everything apart and clean it.
I do that.
I never do that. Okay. Well, like, when I'm spraying latex, I just...
You just run water through it?
Rinse it all out with water, and then until it stops, you know, I stop seeing paint, and then I fill it back up with water, and I'll plug it back into the sprayer, and I'll spray a whole thing of water through it, and then
that's all you really need to do.
And then I'll pour a little water in there and just store it with a little water sitting in there. And then when I'm spraying lacquer, I do the same thing. I just use lacquer thinner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just leave a little lacquer thinner in there. And then next time I dump it out. I never take it apart.
You don't take the needle out and the tip off to clean or anything? You just run water through?
No. Okay. Never. Maybe that's why I got a bunch of bubbles in my paint. Could be.
It's possible.
There's spiders in your gun, too.
Maybe. Yeah, see, I should have probably taken the actual gun apart. Maybe there's something caught in there.
Yeah, there's a mouse or a possum in there.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, when I was doing client work, I would use it a lot more regularly, so it was getting regular use. But now that it just has sat for such a long time, it's probably got something to do with it.
Yeah, that's a high possibility.
What do you know? Could but be. Did I tell you about the whole dishwasher thing, how much of a pain that was, and how the instructions that came with it were completely wrong?
No.
Well, I think you told us more about the repairman when he lit up and told us about his Disneyland.
Oh yeah, that was in the after show.
That's right.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But so they send these instructions, and you might know because you did those panel ready fridges or whatever, but the instructions are also a template that you can put onto your panel, and it's supposed to give you the marks on where you need to add all your screws to slide onto the front. So I laid out my template exactly how it said in the instructions. I added my screws and my little clips, and I went to slide it on the dishwasher, and it wasn't a little off. It was 6 inches off from the little keyholes on the dishwasher that they were supposed to slide into. 6 inches off.
Six.
That's a little large.
And so the only thing I can think of is that those instructions don't actually go to that dishwasher. Because there's no way they messed it up that badly. And so I just ended up measuring the door of my dishwasher and then putting the screws where they're supposed to go. But then in the process of trying to get it on there the first time, the little plastic clips broke. So, and then I don't even get why you have to use those screws and clips to like slide it on into place, because with the dishwasher, you get it in there and then you take off all the interior screws, and they're little screws, and you replace them with big screws. And so it's screwed around the entire perimeter of the panel.
Yeah.
So why can't they just say, clamp the panel onto the door, get it lined up right, and screw it in place? Why do you even need all those clips? I don't get it.
Because the average person doesn't have clips or clamps.
Why can't it just be magnetic?
Be a magnet. Yeah, little mag switches on the inside.
Yes.
Rare earth dishwashers.
That'd be awesome.
They like to F with the installers.
Why can't we all just use paper plates and cups?
I said that to my wife tonight, because like we go through silverware like crazy, because every meal I'm home, so I use silverware, and then by Tuesday there's like nothing forks left. Like, we should just start eating with plastic forks and spoons and paper plates. Like,
just get
stop this, stop the madness,
or just go on a burrito diet.
Yeah.
Oh,
eat your hands.
I do a lot. I use a lot of hands when I'm eating, like anything,
or chopsticks. Yeah.
A lot of dinner.
Chopsticks that wipe off easily.
I want to finish my meal within 2 hours of starting it, so I'd rather just use a fork than chopsticks.
Are you saying you can't use chopsticks well?
I'm saying it's a struggle.
Oh, you can practice.
I told my wife this a few months ago, that I think the average household has way too much silverware and plates. I think every person in the house should have one plate, one fork, one spoon, one knife. And they're like all a different color. So, you know, like, I've got the blue set, you've got the red set. Because if that was all you had, you would just wash your plate as soon as you're done with it. You'd have one plate, you'd eat, you'd wash it, you'd put it back on the shelf. That's it.
Hmm.
But we have so many, so we don't wash them right away. We just throw them in the sink and they pile up because we're like, oh, we got more in the cabinet.
Sure. Well, it's like underwear. Like, if you just had 365 pairs, so I don't have to do a wash.
Yeah. If you just had one, then you wouldn't have to worry about it. It's like when you're camping. You got one set of silverware and you wash it every time after you eat.
Yeah.
And then it's good to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a solid point.
We're too pampered. The American anus is too coddled.
Don't tell my dude wipes that.
That's why I have a bidet.
Oh, yeah. That's just a waste of water. Come on.
Ah, water's free.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Comes out of the ocean. Oh,
you know, speaking of water, what I started researching this last week is, so one of my projects I'm going to start this summer is I'm going to build either a treeless treehouse.
Wait,
that was like a joke that was your TV show thing.
No, like, that's...
Where are you going to put that thing now?
Out in the pasture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they got plenty of room out there. And that I decided if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right, because I can get probably 5 videos out of this whole thing. But then I decided that the one I posted on Instagram is not quite up to snuff. It's got to be a little better. So I'm going to do like maybe a little bigger. I'm going to do layers. Everything's going to be layers, Jared.
Levels. That's right, levels.
But then I started thinking, since the whole thing's going to be on stilts, it'd be really sweet if it was on stilts for a better reason, like above water.
Like a lagoon.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool if I dug out a whole like pond and there's bridges you had to like go over the pond and everything? So I started researching ponds. And if you have to have permits for them and how you make them. And I found this website where you can order like a pond skin. So basically you can dig any hole you want and you put this pond skin in there and you got a pond. I mean, it's not that hard.
Like a koi pond?
Well, as long as, I mean, the frogs can.
As long as you don't step on the koi's head.
Yeah.
They want you to pay for the koi,
expensive.
Michael. But then
it was
you can
an
get,
old
like,
fish anyway.
You can add like chemicals to a pond, like you do a pool to like keep the mosquitoes out. And like, it's a whole big thing. I wandered down a pond rabbit trail on the internet. And there are some people that are really into ponds out there.
I just want to know how did you say permit?
Permit?
Permit.
Yeah, you said permit.
Okay. What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
That's the verb. Permit is the noun.
Oh. Permit? Or permit.
Like, yeah, you like, permit somebody to do something?
Like insurance.
Put the insurance. Emphasis on the wrong syllabo.
Syllabalo, yeah. Well, I think it would be awesome if you had some kind of water feature so the water was like running all
the
time.
Yeah, well, that's another way to make sure you don't get mosquitoes is if the water's moving.
Yeah, it can't be stagnant.
Uh-huh.
Like with a big fountain in the middle, like at golf courses.
Ooh,
or Bellagio, or the Bellagio.
That's right.
I think that would be cool. And I want to do multiple platforms because I want to build some rope bridges. I think that'd be really fun to try and figure out. Like
that
rope
would
bridge.
Be cool.
Yeah, out of hemp. You got plenty of hemp out there.
Yeah. So it's probably going to end up being like a $20,000 treehouse. But
make it an Airbnb, man.
But I was thinking, if I'm going to build it, I want to build it well enough that when he outgrows it, exactly, it could be like a little guest house.
Yeah.
Like a bungalow.
Like I want to do real windows. I want to do the, you know, up to code walls, insulation, the whole nine yards.
Satellite TV.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, if I'm going to do it. Plus, I want it to look good. I don't want it to be this like dilapidated, ugly thing just sitting on our property. So
That could be really cool. Man.
He's
pretty excited about it. Also, because I've never framed anything in my entire life. So that'll be fun to do an instructional video on how to do it.
Oh, yeah. You won't get any comments.
Yeah, no. There's no armchair
contractors out there. Uh-uh.
Yeah, we'll see. I was, luckily, the office is all the framing still exposed. So when I was designing it, I kept running out there. And seeing how they did like windows and doors and all that. So I think I got it pretty close to, I think it's pretty good. We'll find out what everybody on YouTube says. They're probably going to be like, you did that wrong. That's going to fall down. Your son's going to die.
But, right. That's not going to be waterproof.
Everybody's going to die.
Yeah. That's the other thing. It's like, making sure it's waterproofed, like, you know, getting everything sealed properly and all your little soffits and everything. Yeah. All that jazz.
So much jazz.
So much jazz. So hopefully I can start on that in like June or July. We'll see.
Well, that'd be fun.
Nice.
Yeah. And it'll be fun because I'm just going to order like a giant lumber package from the lumber yard. They'll bring it in on a truck like the office and then it'll just all be there. I just grab pieces and build. It'll be like I'm back in middle school building a fort.
Yeah.
So you can build, you can order like a giant shed package. Right? Like you can buy these portable garages almost sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
As a kit.
Just get like a...
But that's not fun. I don't want to do a kit.
Get a double wide and just elevate it.
Yeah.
Half a double wide.
An old decommissioned airplane.
Yeah, but that would be sick.
Yes. No, because I saw a TV show where they had like amazing homes around the world and some guy did. Took a plane and turned it into a home, like on a hill. It was sick.
Yeah, I know. We watched that together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Glad you
remembered.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Remember that?
Yeah, glad you remembered me.
Hey, remember that time?
The fact that I was the one that introduced you to that show, you jerk.
Grand Design, yes. My bad. Did you watch that Top Gear where they...
I haven't had a chance yet. But the fact that you laugh every time you talk about it.
Every time I think about it, when he pulls in the driveway with that, and Richard Hammond's like, What? Like, he just is stupefied at what he built. And Jeremy gets out. He's like, come on, give it to me. Brilliant, right?
Brilliant.
Oh, man. I just love it.
Oh. Nothing beats the Robin?
Oh, the Reliant Robin.
Reliant Robin. That's the best episode ever filmed.
They turn it into a rocket. That was the first episode I ever saw of that show that got me hooked.
That's the best.
Mm.
The Reliant Robin.
I have never watched the original Top Gear. I've only watched the spinoff show?
The Grand Tour?
The Grand Tour. I've watched all of those, but I've never watched the Grand Tour.
Yeah,
great.
You should watch the originals. They're so much better.
I'll watch them all.
Funny.
I need something to binge watch.
Last night I wandered down
a dark hole of reading about ponds and watching a documentary on John Wayne Gacy. And
oh God!
Well, are you gonna? Would you build the house first and then dig out the pond, or dig out the pond and then build the house?
I feel like I'd have to dig out, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to have to rent a excavator so that I can dig out for all my footings.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm going to have the excavator, I might as well dig out the pond at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Might as well just
kind of
go
all,
for it, right?
All at once, then.
All at once. And then I'll just film the digging out the pond and save that footage for the pond video. Because there's no point in doing this if I'm not going to do videos on it all. Well, I guess there is one point in making my son happy and building him something he would like. But that's kind of
That's completely
that's
an
beside
afterthought.
The point. Yeah,
that's the side. That's an afterthought for sure.
That's right.
So, yeah, it should be fun.
Be awesome.
And it'll be summer vacation, so he can help me do it.
Oh yeah, nice. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Yeah. Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, should we wrap this thing up?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
we
it's
can do that.
Time to head over to the after show where we've got questions.
All
questions
right.
And well, we've got answers then.
Questions
we might have answers
in the after show.
It may not, but they might not be the right ones. But
we've got them.
We want to remind you that we are huge fans of our sponsor for this episode, Bits and Bits. And if you want to get yourself some bits and some more bits, you go to bitsbits.com, use coupon code morsels15, and you get 15% off all your CNC router bits.
And bits.
Did you have something to say, Keith?
No, I was just saying 1-5, so if people couldn't hear you, they could see my 15.
Oh, because they can see
screen.
You?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
because visual
I
on
me
podcast is the most recognizable.
Yeah. I'm new at this.
Okay. It's only our 52nd episode.
Yeah, let me write that down so I remember next time. I got to remember that I saw that episode of Grand Designs with Jason. I need to remember that we're on audio, not video. So many things, so many things.
So 52 episodes, and we're still learning.
Wheat field you're sitting in is getting to your allergies there, clouding your thinking.
All that gluten over there.
Yeah.
That's what it is, dude. I'm having a celiac reaction over here.
Oh, yeah. All right, guys, we're heading to the after show. If you're not a patron, you go to patreon.com/shopsoundspodcast to sign up. Any tier level gets access to the after show where you can ask us questions. We'll answer them over there, and we get a little more randy.
Saucy.
In the after show.
That's right.
Nick, I'm going to take...
Randy's not the right word, but well, don't want to offend... We probably have a patron named Randy.
I know a couple of Randys.
Like, yeah.
You know a couple of Randys. Nick, I'm going to take the Reliant Robin over the after show if you want to hop in with me.
All right, just don't...
We'll even out the weight distribution.
Yeah, just don't turn
so we'll
too quick.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to roll over on my extra 30-inch tabletop. I'll be there in a second.
Oh, bingo.
Look, a wagon wheel. All right.
All right.
See ya.
Bye-bye.